July 11th, 1985, interview with Bill Blackstock. You just introduce yourself.
Mm-hmm. Bill Blackstock. A resident of Avery. Born here.
What type of housing was available?
Well, the house I lived in was down across from the police station down there, the old police station, you know. It was a regular house. Most of the people had houses here. They weren't as attractive as they are now, but they were still houses. Mostly, there's no love, I was drinking.
What was the cost of renting a house, do you know?
Renting?
Yeah.
$500 a month or something like that. I don't remember anybody having to rent at that time because most of the people lived here, you know. I mean, there was no people moving in or out or anything like that. Any people that moved in were here to stay, you know, and they either bought a piece of land or just moved into a piece of land. Not that I know of, anyway.
Were there a lot of people?
There was people coming and going all the time, you know, about what it's like now. What I remember of, anyway, there was never very many moving in at any time or anything like that, because I remember that was, you know, it was a pretty well stable community. There was no need for tourist accommodation. I had one little hotel.
The liquor store?
No, the liquor store was much later. Just when it moved in during the Second World War, I believe. I don't know just when this liquor store moved in here. It was always a beer parlor that I can remember of. Bud Dawson had a huge hotel down there for Alice's store, as there now, you know. It took up about half a block there. And that was me. I believe they had rooms there and beer parlor and a confectionery store and a little store out in front there. But that's where it was located, right where the store is, right on the corner.
Has
Hazleton
grown much?
Pardon?
Has Hazleton grown much?
Well, not really, no. I mean, there's no place for it to grow, eh? I mean, it has grown some, especially on the lower part. But then, no, it hasn't really grown. I wouldn't say grown much. The buildings that the original buildings have been all done away with, you know, just through age, I guess. Tore down and rebuilt again, replaced. But I wouldn't say it's grown an awful lot. The reserve has grown. You know, the people that are living up there, you know, families grow up and move out. But those in the white community, it seems that any of the children that were born to the white community, in the white community, most of them moved away, you know, after either finishing school or soon afterwards, anyway. You know, like the Marshalls, their children have moved away, like, you know. Bill and Toby, they've all moved out, you see. The same with our family. I'm about the only one that's left up here, I guess. Hazel's moved out. tells him he's in Prince George. My sister, she's in down the States. Actually, there was never very much here to attract.
How long
have
you been here?
Well, I was born here. But I was away for a number of years there. I was in the Army for 6.5 years. Overseas. And when I came back, I couldn't find any work, you know, anything that I could do, or anything I wanted to do. I moved out. I was away for 15 years, I guess, worked out down south. I was a miner, and I followed the mining trade pretty well. Today I couldn't find anything I wanted here, and I moved out and found work elsewhere. Mm-hmm. That was about the size of it. But after I'd finished working, more or less, I decided I better move home. I like it up here. At that time, anyway, right after coming out of the Army, coming back here, there was just no work, period. Besides, I'd have to go out and look for work.
Do you know when
they
got electricity in
the neighborhood? Electricity. The main part of town is always pretty well had electricity. I can't remember just when the powerhouse was built down there. The powerhouse used to be, I believe it's still in the same building there, right about across from Bob Blackstock's place down there, and Bob and Dick's. Is that building still up that way?
No. Was it the laundromat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the original powerhouse. That's where they had their, what they call the powerhouse. They eventually moved up to that building. BC Telegraph had it now, I believe. Where the hydro office is there? That old building on this side of it, or the other side of it. That's where the powerhouse moved up to then. The old powerhouse used to be down there. I can't tell you exactly when it went in. I know I was quite young, and it just serviced the businesses, I believe, and I guess some of the residences, as I can remember. I can't really tell you. But we lived downtown there, and we lived right across from the police station, and we didn't have no power there.
Was Bill Sargent,
do you know that? Yeah, it was Dick Sargent, actually. In them days, it was Dick. I guess Bill was part and partial.
Uh-huh.
But the old man, I believe, the original mover.
Do you know when
he was incorporated? No, I don't think I would remember at all. Like I say, I was away for a number of years altogether. I think I was away for about 20 years as in the Army for 6.5. And I was away for about 15 years again after that.
You were overseas when you were in the Army?
Yeah.
Where were you stationed?
Well, mostly England, but I went over to North Africa, joined it. They sent over a division of, or a brigade, I forget which it was, a brigade of Canadians over to North Africa, and I was one of those, and then we went up through Italy, and from Italy right up through Europe. So
that must have been quite an experience to be over there. Did you see any action?
Oh, I lost it.
Did you take part in it?
Well, I guess you said I was part of it, yeah. I didn't actually get to start killing anybody or anything like that, but I was part and parcel of it, you know.
Did you have to pick up any foreign language?
Yeah, you learn as you go, like, you know, there was no, like, I became quite fluent in Italian, and later when I moved up into the main part of Europe, I stationed in Holland and Germany. I never did learn that Dutch language, but I managed to get by with the German language. I can't say that I was fluent, but made myself understood anyway, you know.
Was Hayden really different when
you
got back?
It's the only difference that I found when I first come back was I got off at the wrong station there. I got off at Southbound. I was a bloody soul over there. But that was I'd forgot about that. I'd heard about the bridge being out down there, like, you know. Like there used to be a bridge across the Buckley down there. Coming back from overseas, came back on holiday, instead of getting off at Newtown, I got off at Southtown. That was about the only real exchange, I guess, you could say. I forget. No, Sargent's store was still same, I believe. That was the old story, you know. But, no, there was never any changes while I was away. That is, from overseas.
Do you know who the first mayor was?
Pardon?
Do you know who the first mayor was?
The first?
Mayor?
Mayor. Again, I was away. There was never any official mayor or anything until. Well, I also was the first one that I knew of that was mayor. You know, there was never any title holder of that description that I remember anyway.
Did you attend school when you were
on the board?
Pardon? Did you attend school?
Oh, yeah.
Where?
Well, I started off in the Indian Day School down in, by St. Peter's Church there, you know. And, then I, the next term I was enrolled in the public school. Right about where Solomon Jack or no, Smokey's house is there. That's where the public school used to be. I started going to the public school there. Well, I went to school all over the place. I went to school in Kisbe, Oxford, Ohio. I lived with my grandparents. I went up there, moved up with my grandparents for one winter there. Went to school in Kisbe, Oxford while I was up there.
Who were your grandparents?
Pardon?
Who were your grandparents? Who were your grandparents?
Timothy and Maggie Harris. Yeah, they're both gone. But I used to go up and stay with them once in a while. I went to school there, and
Was there a difference between the schools?
Pardon?
Did you notice a difference between the schools?
Not then, no. I didn't pay that much attention to it, actually. And then I went to school in Edmonton for a while. That was when they were still, they used to just get a bunch of the kids downtown there and ship them off to school in Edmonton or La Jack Lake, And I got caught in a roundup, went to school in Edmonton for a couple of years, I guess. But then again, education was, as far as going to school is concerned, I don't know if I ever learned anything in those days, except ABC and 1, 2, 3 and stuff like that, that was our, it's just far from what you guys got now. Oh man, I'm telling you, anything that I learned, I didn't learn in school, actually. It's something that I learned after growing up, living. You more or less had to try and better yourself, or better way to. As far as formal education is concerned, I don't know how I managed to get as far as I did, but I only went to grade 10. My dad died and I took over his bread and butter duties, I had to go to work. Life at school, I'd like to have continued in school, but I didn't. I don't know, I've gotten by, I suppose I could have gotten by a lot better if I'd had a better education. I try to talk to my young relatives about that. How fortunate the children are today, actually, to have the facilities to learn. In my day, there was nothing. Like I say, there was an Indian day school, then the public school. And then it was quite a while later that they had what we call the high school. But I forget what years that would be, but I suppose it was adequate for the time, at the time. It was a place to learn to read and write. Anyone with a better education in those days or wanted to have a better education had to pretty well leave town, right?
Do you know when the public school and the Indian day school were amalgamated?
No, I think it was while I was away. I wasn't around at the time. The present facilities down there weren't even up when I was there. Before I left there, that was only built. I don't know, I can't tell you, I wasn't here. Present school. No, I can't tell you when that was built or anything. I know the hospital has changed an awful lot. My day, the only Red Memorial, the original one, I don't know how many beds there were in there, it wasn't too many. That's one of the major improvements that I've found around here, is the hospital facilities. What you have here now is, in comparison, on a smaller scale, of course. I gotta imagine the only thing right now, we only had the one doctor in those days, Dr. Wrench. When he was running, and one of the boys, Dr. Leonard Rich, I believe it is, he took over, and it was more like a family affair, I guess. I've been in the family for years. But, I suppose it was, for, you know, under that, but he was a good doctor, you know. Time, like, you know, I mean, you take the population, it's doubled, I guess, especially in the rural areas, especially off the valley and up there. There's only one or two families, or maybe three or four of them living out of the valley, and then they were loves and Hebner's. George Burns, I can't really remember it, but not right off. There wasn't too many families living out there, just the Up Valley.
Do you know anything about the School of Nursing?
That's another thing that's just started in the last few years, I guess. I don't know. Like I say, a lot of these things, there's quite a span of time when I was away there that it didn't go in that direction. Like, you know, it didn't go any bigger or anything like that, but the ideas and the things that are happening here, it's just been over a period of time that they've added these things, and nothing that I know of anyway, that there's no nursing school here like they have now. I mean, you take all these student nurses come up here in. I don't think they have anything like that.
Businesses?
Well, mostly grocery stores. Sargent's grocery store. Hudson Bay. Myers and Smith. There were three grocery and dry goods outlets. You know. They handled just about everything. Another store there, Bud Dawson used to have. He dealt mostly in confectionaries and, he kept all kinds of odds and ends in there.
Were there policemen?
Pardon?
Were there policemen?
Policemen, more than. And the provincial police unit. And Molly's. Mostly, it was controlled by one policeman, I believe, originally. That's as far back as I can remember, anyway. There was provincial police, and I believe the Maoris came in. Well, I can't just say, when the Maoris first came in. When I was just a kid there, there was no Mounties here then, I don't think. At least I can't remember. I don't think there was any Mounties here. It was just the provincial police. And there was only the one policeman there.
You don't remember his name?
Pardon?
You don't remember his name?
Dutch Klein. I just barely remember him. I was quite young then. Dutch. I believe he left here shortly afterwards. They transferred him out of here. And the next one I remember was Wyman. Guy by the name of Wyman. He was the guy that was involved in that shooting that they had down there. He was shot by, I believe it was Morgan Wilson and William Green, one of the two. Did you hear about that?
No.
He wasn't killed or anything, but they had quite an altercation apparently. Maybe some of the other guys might remember more about it. But I just barely remember that. That was a long time ago. Like I say, I just barely remember these things. No, well, our house is right across from the police station. The biggest crime around here, and I was getting drunk, I guess, and beating up on your old lady or something like that. And they had two or three cells in the police station there. I don't know how many cells it was in there. But there was never anything around here, it was a very tame old town. Of course, nobody had cars there. Had no cars here. There was only two or three around town, I believe. I forget who owned them. That was like the early days.
What types of entertainment were there?
Yeah, but I can't recall anybody having any radios around here. Even there were no TVs. TV was non-existent, and I don't think any of these should have TVs. But radios, yes, battery radios, we had one over at the house there. It was all battery operated radios that we had. The entertainment part, we made our own, eh? In the wintertime, we used to have a skating rink down there where Bob Maw's store is there now, in that area, general area right in there. There used to be, right across from the powerhouse, eh? And that's where we got our water from, was through the powerhouse. We used to pump the water from the bedroom. That's where our skating rink used to be. Otherwise, we used the river or the hospital lake.
Is there a hockey field?
Any hockey we played, we used to go out the bush and cut our own hockey sticks and pick up frozen horse turds, and that's what we used.
Horse.
That's a fact. go out in the road there, lots of horses around, you always find a buck. But that's what we used for. We made our own, pretty well made our own. Last time there was always lots of dances. There was, usually a dance up in the old Kittimax Hall there, but it seemed to be a weekly affair, especially during the winter months, say, when everybody was back from the coast. Used to be at one time here, fishing was the one of the summertime jobs of everybody around here. Along about April or May, the reserve was just empty right off, except for a few old people that stayed behind. In those days, it was just everybody onto the train and down to the coast for the summer, and the reserve, there was just no reserve for the summer. Except for a few older people. It was the same with just the Ox, Grenville, most of the people. That was the only industry going in the summertime, the fishing. And in the fall, it was mostly boat camps, trapping, and what have
you. Were you involved in hunting?
I was involved in a lot of sports down here when I was growing up. Played baseball, football. No, aside from that, like I said, there was really nothing organized. We made our own pastimes, whatever we happened. Summertime, it was mostly ball. And it was all up in the reserve there. We used to have a thing, Old Tom. Did you ever hear the game Old Tom?
Yeah.
that was our ball game. Of course, there was always sports up in the up in the ball field there, you know. Our main pastime, I think, as far as kids were concerned then, was just group sports, you know. It's not so much a sport as it is a pastime, like, you know, playing ice cream, everybody, whatever you call it. It used to be a hide and seek, that's what it is, but you've done this in teams, right? You break up into teams, two teams. One team was the searchers, and the other one were the hiders, like, you know, one team would go and hide. And of course, this was an after dark sport. Not only knows what went on though, when you're hiding. But we didn't have that much to do. Like I said, we made our own pastime. Except for the dances, which were usually sponsored by just whoever felt like it. And they were pretty well a weekly affair. The orchestra felt like going up the hill, or going down to the hall and playing some music. All the young guys are young people, you know. But some of the more organized dances were good. I mean, the ladies would always bring something to eat, you know, we'd have lunches there. Always something like that, you know. Somebody would bring cake, and somebody would bring sandwiches, and just whatever, you know. But then I remember we used to dance from all hours of the night, you know, right from morning. I'd see them stagger home there at breakfast time, and there was never any drinking involved. At one time there, if you were drinking, they just wouldn't let you in the hall there. You know, the admission maybe was 10 cents or 15 cents or something like that, you know. And sometimes no admission at all. But there was never any problem really with, especially with young people, there was never any problem with drinking. More or less the older people game then, that I can remember anyway. I know when I thought it used to be a big deal after I quit school there to even get a hold of a case of beer, you know. About 5 or 6 to get into a case of beer after the first couple of bottles, of course, you know. Hey, man, you know. But that's the way it was. Liquor wasn't any. It wasn't included in anything that we'd done, you know, going to dances or anything like that. So, like I said, some of the older people would probably get into a little bit of home brew or something like that. There was no, you couldn't get it, eh? Well, you could, but then nobody had the money for it. Put it that way. During a depression there, man, if you didn't plant a few spuds and rustled some fish in the summertime and got out in the wintertime and hustled some meat, you know, moose meat, game meat. Well, you're just out of luck, that's all. aside from that, nobody had any money, you know, nothing but even if there were cars available, you know, and there was cars available then, especially in the 20s, 30s. But nobody had the money. What money, a little money you could make when you went out to work, usually went for clothing. You know, you got no living, you know. There was no welfare. No welfare such as it is today. And they had what they call a relief program. All I remember was relief. I was just a kid then, and I remember we lived right across from the station, the police station there, and that's where they used to give out this relief money. It was usually about $10 a month or something like that. You know, if you're crippled and, well, if you just couldn't go to work or anything like that, I suppose. But then if you could go to work, they used to put you to work on they didn't call it the Department of Highways then, it was
Public Works,
yeah. They put you to work on there, you know, for a couple of days a week or something like that, shoveling gravel, load. But there was no welfare program as we know it today.
Is $10 sufficient?
Get into the I don't know how much it amounted to. I wouldn't put a dollar figure on it like that. I mean, like I say, but that's about probably what it amounted to, you know. Because I don't know what it amounted to. I think I had nothing to do with it. But then I just remember this from years ago. We lived right across the street from the police station, and that's where they used to have to go to. I don't know whether they paid me in cash or in vouchers or what. I don't know. I can't remember. But I know it didn't amount to very much. And most of the people didn't need much. You know. But, I do remember they had some relief for that, some kind of thing. I think the railroad came through during the First World War or something like that, or somewhere around that area. I don't really remember.
Do you know anything about the community hall?
I believe that the reserve had the first community hall here, and that was the original Kidmax Hall, you know, that was up in, just above St. Peter's there, you know, you're down that area up on the hill there, up on that first little bench there, and that's where the first hall, and I think that was the only hall. There was no hall down in the main part of town. That was the only hall facility for, you know, dancing or anything like that. At least, no, I don't know. There was no hall down in the part of town. That would be getting my call in.
There was a photograph I saw. It had a bunch of people. They were all dressed up. And it had underneath the Eagle's Ball. Do you know anything about that? If it was an annual event or anything?
No, not that I can remember. I don't remember very much once. can remember is that there were an awful lot of potlatching used to go on. You know, and every time somebody died or was a potlatch. And it used to be quite lively at there, as I used to go up there and watch. I was really quite young, like, you know. But, it used to be really something.
Exactly
when it
was built.
But
that, is that the original building down there now?
Yeah. That was built, whole area there, right where the theater is now. And then down in behind it, there was nothing there, as I can remember when I was a kid. It was just, that's where our skating rink was down in the, down below there. I definitely remember running up the street there and just down over to the mall. I think there was one or two. The police station ran right up to where Beardham is, past Beardham is, police property. Ran up there quite a little bit. I believe Beardham is on part of that. Not all built. I can't tell you when that hall was built.
Was that a community effort?
I don't know who was behind it. I imagine it was. I know Bill Sargent had quite a bit to do with it. Because they had no hall, like I say, they had no hall in those days. I think that was the... I remember it was used for dancing. When they, after the Beardham took it over, I think that was when it was... when they put the sloping floor in. If that is the original building that I remember. I believe the original building that... well, I know it did have a platform on it. Because we used to...
Which churches were involved in the community?
Which?
Churches. Yeah.
Pretty well the same as we have now. We had one more church, though. That was the Church Army, an affiliate of the Church of England. That used to be up there on the hill. It was up in the reserve. You know where Arthur Moore lives?
Yeah.
Up there, right across from Arthur Moore's place. There used to be a building there where the Church Army Hall used to be. Corner of on that corner. the overseas station there. Yeah. I was down in that, right on the corner, there used to be a building there. that's it. It's just that Second World War idea. They would decide to blow in that area. I mean, people are getting more interested in different sports. And that we all had baseball, softball. Well, we all have a city softball, or what they call highball now. And girls have a softball team now.
work at the Royal Diamond. They're there all day. They were part of the sports, you know. They'd go up there and play for half an hour and rest for half an hour and play some more. And at the sports field itself, the Wolves have the, you know, the lean-to shelters like, you know, the restaurants, you can go and make cookie up a steak and stuff like that. And different ladies' organizations, just to put up church organizations, what I really used to have one more for a restaurant. More that she can do in order to help me own. And, you know, all the time, you know, construction booths there. All in all, you know, it was a year to do the deal. Once a year, everybody put the, you know, nobody really behind it, I guess. I don't know, any boss or anything like that. It was just the community effort, eh? Whatever the existing organization we did have, well, those are all behind the UDL, behind the sports league. This is only a few days up there, anyway, usually. So, the team is coming in from, like I said, Kipping Glass, Unicross, and Kipping Pool, and we used to send them to the other two conferences. They're Fishtails, Venlo, Morristown eventually. But it used to be a big deal. I mean, you know, people coming from all over the village. It would be the same when there were sports in history out. So they would maybe put pride in it.
Do you remember the name of the band that played the market?
I don't think there was ever any name to it. It might have been, for all I know. Martha Moore or some of them guys there, well, they were part of it. Maybe you do probably remember if they had a name or not. As far as I know, it was a nice band or something like that. I mean, I don't think there was any name to it. It's a band, as far as I know.
Do you know anything about the Wildwood Orchestra?
Yeah, Roy Wilson was there. Roy Wilson, Chris Harris. They were the two originators, you might say. Old Morgan Morrison, he was part of it. Jonathan Johnson. They were quite good, matter of fact. They had a good orchestra, all of them. Just the opposite. They had a darn good orchestra. They had two orchestras in history office at one time. It was the Wildwood. Now I forget the name of the other one. There was two orchestras in history office.
That was the Northern Lights?
Northern Lights, yeah. People seem to went from you to Northern. I mean, they went in for it, right? And then the kids when you turn around that side there. Bands would be practicing up in the hall and all the youth would know band practicing. And the church, even the Salvation Army had their own band. Church Army had their own band. And, you know, usually on a Saturday night, or Sunday, I forget if I'm explaining how, usually Saturday night and Sunday maybe, they have open air services, like, you know, lead you right on top of the hill there, right up on top of the hill there. They have an open air service there, and you can hear the band all over the town, like, you know. Salvation Army, the same thing. We used to have outdoor open air service, whatever you call it. Short service up there on the hill, and then they went back to their respective halls. In fact, I think there was two churches up in the middle, they had their own band. The community band was really too important. So, all in all, I guess that should be good. At least for those days, you know, it was really good.
Do you know how China Grade got its name?
Because it was so steep. You couldn't drive up the bamboo. Remember when the first guys, they used to have an awful time there, getting up China Grade. That's what. I don't know just what it was, you know. Somebody just put it on there, I guess. So you're going straight down, you're going through the China. But that's, as far as that was my way. Well, there used to be a lot of old bachelors down here, I guess they were railroad construction men originally, and they just settled down here, you know. An awful lot of bachelors down here. And,
games in there, and store. That was a big building too. That was, like I say, that's like where Alex Markham was. You know, that building was set on fire. It extended right down to down there to where Scotty Smith lives. It was a long, huge building. I don't know just how long ago it was. When I was a kid, it was a long building anyway. When that burned down, what happened to it, I don't remember. Trappers running out in the fall. They all left about the same time, you know, and then the outfitted down at the bay or in the sergeants. See them heading out. They waited for the snow and it was not much more fun. Usually they took off after New Year, some of them beaver trappers, like, you know, see them hooking up the river.
Dog slaves.
Not that I remember, no. I don't think so. You know, I like I said, I don't remember anything. So I don't think so. It's all business trapping.
You
want
to think about scaring that went across the river to the city?
Yeah. People had, like I said, there was a lot of horses in those days. They didn't need to get their hay someplace. There was a lot of hay fields out there. People had fields over there. And they lived there. Some of them that didn't go down the coast, so they lived over there during the summer months. They'd harvest hay and put in gardens and do their fishing in the river. On both sides of the river, and had a little where they put up fish. They used to smoke houses down on this side of the
side of the Hamilton crew used to fish this side of the river and the canyon. And after the people would be on the far side. There was two smoke houses down there at one time. And there was two big smoke houses down on the Hamilton side. We have four down in Miami, we tied down the road down the river. The old bridge or something else again. I had a picture of the original bridge of it. Yeah, I was looking to see crossing that thing. Did you ever see a picture of it? No, I wasn't. I think it burnt from the house, burnt down over the domino. The original bridge that went across that avenue standing for a long time. It was really something to see. I saw a picture, but recently you have to get rid of it. Billy used to have a lot of pictures down to the side. I'm trying to think. No, I've covered it.